I want to read you a passage from Scripture from Revelation to start off as we start. And the thing about this passage in Revelation is that it's describing a specific time that every single one of us is going to see. A time when all of us will be standing together at this moment that's going to be described. It's Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 15. And it says, "Then I saw a great white throne." I want you to really listen for a second because you guys are still kind of jazzed up over that awesome worship they just led us in. So try to really focus on what Scripture's saying here, not your bracelets that we gave you. We were going to wait to the end, but that's okay. "Then I saw a great white throne." Try to picture that in your head. "And him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." Now, as I read that passage, as I describe a moment that each of us will one day see, that we'll be standing there, and together I'll probably be able to look across this huge place where we're standing around Christ's throne and see each of you standing around there. And the deal is that it's not just all Christians standing around this throne. That as they stand there, there will be those that have never believed in Jesus Christ. It's describing some people will be read, their name will not be found in the book of life. And as we stand together there, hopefully all believers in Christ, we'll be watching people that we once knew and loved. And Jesus will look at them and say, "You're not in my book." And they'll be cast into a lake of fire right in front of our eyes. Now, as we talk about that passage, as we read through this event that's going to happen, I have a question for you. Does it make your heart tremble? Is it real to you? Do we look at these passages of Scripture and actually believe they will happen? Or can you sit in your seat and listen as we talk about something like this, and your heart is just so callous because you don't really know about or care about spiritual things? And you're at the point where you've never really opened your eyes up to the fact that these things we read in Scripture are total truth. Even these horrible parts that should break our hearts for those who will be cast into the lake of fire. Maybe for some of us, we may be those people that as Jesus opens that book, he won't find our name there. But your heart still just hasn't quite come around to the fact that it's reality. And you don't take it seriously. And as you listen, your heart doesn't tremble in fear over this horrible event that was just described to you. Because maybe you just don't believe it's real. Now, we're not talking about Revelation tonight. But as we start, I just wanted you to have a grasp of what we are going to talk about. This big word that Manny did a really good job last week discussing with us called grace. And he kind of talked about what grace was, and he just gave you a little preview too during worship, a little reminder of what it was, that Jesus Christ gave us what we don't deserve. Anyone know what that is? Well, grace is giving us what we don't deserve. What is the thing that we don't deserve? Huh? Life, yeah. Life. Now, all of us that are sitting here, if you don't know Jesus, we come to this place dead. You're born dead. Doesn't that sound awkward? Like, isn't that weird? I'm born dead? What? I was just born. That's when I get life. But you're actually born dead. You know that out of everything in the world, the thing that we can see so clearly that isn't natural is death. What? Death isn't natural? I mean, we read in science books and hear our whole life. There's nothing more natural than life and birth and death. That's just the course of life, right? You live and then you die. Not at all. Death is absolutely supernatural. Did you know that? You were never intended to die. We were created to live forever. Death came about because God supernaturally put a curse on us called death. And that curse came about because of sin. And so when we see death as humans, we respond to it. And it probably makes your stomach sick just to think about death. Even driving by a poor animal on the side of the road that was hit by a car probably makes some girls cry. And guys, some of you get a sick stomach. Like, you recognize death just doesn't fit in. There's something about it. And so as we discuss spiritual things tonight, know that these things we're studying are reality. They're not made up stories that we talk about because we want to talk about Jesus and have something to discuss. These are truth. This is reality. These things will actually happen. And this thing called grace is so important because we're born in that thing we just talked about, death. But Jesus comes and reverses that and gives us life. And in doing so, that's called grace. And so as we study tonight what grace is, the first thing you need to know is that you guys have probably been lied to your whole lives about what grace is. If you watch TV at all, I know you've been lied to. And so I want to show you a picture, two pictures real quick. Because here's the deal. Your parents probably even put on some videos or put on some music for you growing up that was awesome at the time. Have you ever... If I say the word Justin Bieber, anybody know who that is? No? You know that Justin Bieber started singing at church? You know that his mom has done interview after interview talking about how she was so thankful that God had given him this gift because now he can use it to bless other people? She wrote a devotional guide that churches use all over the country to help them study the word. She was so proud of her son. But if I were to show you, are the pictures going to work or did they not get them on there? Oh, they're up there? There he is. Happy, smiling in a mugshot because he just got arrested. And you know the thing is, I heard some of you do it, and I don't want to make you feel bad for doing it, but I kind of did it too when I first saw it. I laughed. It's funny, right? Sin is so funny. He's living a life, if any of you guys have followed what's going on in the news, you can't turn on the TV without seeing him for the last like month plastered on the news, being arrested, into drugs, doing disgusting, perverted things. And we're not here tonight because I want to pick on Justin Bieber or point him out or judge him or critique him in any way, but what I do want you to know is that many of you probably grew up listening to his music because it used to be really clean and really awesome, and he was a good... Parents would be like, sweet, listen to Justin Bieber because we can trust his music. And now you're at this point where, wait a minute, my whole life I kind of like saw this kid and listened to his music and now like he's this kind of like role model for me or whatever and he's doing this. Is this okay? And I don't want you to be confused. I don't want you to look at him now and still think he's a role model and still think that what he's doing is like the next stage in life. That's probably what I should do too. No, it's not. And if you were to stand up and say something about Justin Bieber in school, kids in your school would probably yell at you or be mad at you for even, don't judge people. Let people live their life. Let them do what they're going to do. And we misunderstand what grace is. Grace isn't tolerating sin and thinking that sin's okay and letting people just live how they want to live. And then you might have others who just want to hate people and say, how dare that kid do that? I can't stand that people do that stuff. And they just want you to follow rules and they want you to have this relationship with God that actually looks like just a big list of rules. And if you do all these things right, then maybe God will love you. That's not right either. That's another extreme. And so as we listen to our culture keep lying to us in all these ways, we misunderstand grace. And we either end up way over here and we think sin's all right, or we end up way over here and we're just following some list of rules and have zero relationship with our God. You know this person, this next person up here? You know who this is? You probably grew up listening to Hannah Montana, right? Some of you guys watched her movies.
She was like a symbol of purity for a long time. She was like the Miss Disney of everything. Everybody, oh, she's so great. Let's listen to Hannah Montana. Now, Miley Cyrus, today, I wouldn't watch on TV if it was censored because of the things that she's doing. Because of the life that she's trying to show everybody is okay. And I don't want you to think it's okay. I don't want you to think she's still Miss Hannah Montana and think that's just the natural progression in the next stage of life as you get older. It's okay to do more stuff like that. As you get older, then sin isn't as bad because you're more mature and you can handle it. Those are lies. Sin is always wrong. Not because someone told you it's wrong, but because God Himself wants us to look like Him. And He hates sin. And so tonight, the passage we're going to look at, Jesus is actually going to help us figure out a balance to this thing between this works and rules, what we call legalism. Follow the rules and God will love you. And the other side, which is liberalism, which means just do what you want, sin doesn't matter. And so let's look, John chapter 15, verses 1 to 11. I'm sure you guys have heard this passage before, all right? It says this, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you're clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you could do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Jesus is going to use this awesome example because he's talking to a bunch of people who are farmers. And you think farmers know things about growing stuff? I'd hope so. They're not going to make a good farmer, right? Probably shouldn't be in the business. So he's going to talk about vines. And so as he talks about vines, look at the first thing he says there. He says, I am the true vine. Now, if we were to look at a vine, let's just imagine like a grapevine, okay? You get this little vine coming up, and you get these little branches coming out, and on the branches, you get the grapes, right? Well, what Jesus is saying, he says, I am the true vine. What does a vine do for those branches? Any idea? They help them bear fruit. What if I just had the branches? Yeah.
They wouldn't get any water or nutrients.
Yeah. All the nutrients from the soil, it's like its little roots are sticking in the soil and sucking in nutrients and water that when the rain comes down, it sucks it in. It goes up through the vine and then out into the branches. Well, the vine's kind of like the straw. What if you were going to drink a milkshake and you had no straw and the cover was still on it and you had to drink the thing? You ever tried to do that? Clunk. Clunk, clunk, you ain't getting no milkshake out. You're just going to be going, I want milkshake. You can't do it. You stick a straw in there, all of a sudden, deliciousness, right? It's like, yeah, it's my milkshake. But you need and so that straw, the vine is kind of like that straw because all the nutrients and life comes up through it, and the branches can't have life if they can't get the nutrients in the water, and they need the vine for that. And Jesus says, I am the vine. Well, guess what? Those branches depend on that vine, don't they? Because what happens if the vine disappears? The branches die. So their whole life depends on the vine itself. If the vine's gone, they're gone. They depend on it. And what Jesus is saying is, I am the true vine. Did you hear that word true? He didn't just say, I'm the vine. I'm the true vine. Why do you think he said that? Could it be that there's other vines out there?
Yeah.
Could it be that the world is throwing all sorts of vines at you?
And they want you to depend on them instead of on Christ? Could it be that we do that anyway? I don't know about you guys, but there's all sorts of stuff that is really easy for me to want to depend on and lean on instead of Christ, or worry about and think my life can be consumed with certain things and I can forget about Christ. I don't know about you, maybe I know for a lot of people, it's friends. Do I fit in? Do people actually care about me? Or maybe it's the way you look, you know? And you spend a lot of time looking in the mirror, wishing you look differently. What do they think about me, you know? Maybe for you, it's being the best athlete, guys. Like, maybe you just, I want everyone to look up at me, you know, in the field. And I want to be liked by everybody. And I want to have the girls chasing me. And girls is the same thing. I wonder if the guys like me. I got to look pretty for the good guys and smell real pretty and spray stuff. Whatever you do, I don't know. You get what I'm saying, though? We consume ourselves with other people so much, and we're so worried about if we're liked and our popularity and how we fit in. And all these things seem so important, and they do have a place in our lives, but here's the deal. They are not our vine. We don't depend on them. They don't give us life. Jesus does. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and if you try to lean on anything else, you're going to end up hurt and broken. And you can't have life. I'm the true vine. And so he opens with a very big statement that you guys got to get. And look what he says about his father. My father is the vine dresser. You know who that is? The guy who walks around, basically the farmer. The guy who walks around and takes care of these things. Makes sure they're clean and pruned and protected. And when the vines start to wither, he sprays a little stuff on it to clean them off and make sure there's no bugs. He loves those vines. He takes care of those vines. God says that he does that for you. Because you're his children and he loves you that much. And look at verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Wow. Every branch that doesn't bear fruit, he takes away. And later he tells us what he does with them. They literally die. And what good is a dead branch? It's just trash. It gets thrown in the fire. And so those, remember that passage I read at the beginning? Those people who haven't depended on Christ for life are still dead. Remember, you're born dead. You're still the dead branch. You never got life back because you haven't accepted Christ, so you were born dead, and so you're still a dead branch. And you'll be tossed in the fire because you're dead. Never having received life from the only one who can give it, the vine, Jesus. But, look at this. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. He takes care of it. Now here's a couple things I want you to recognize here, because there's some big important things right there in that statement. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you're already a branch. You don't have to wait to all of a sudden become this branch so that by the time you're Justin's age or my age, okay, now I'm ready to be a real branch and bear fruit. I get to go through all sorts of classes and sit in Sunday school for 8 years before finally I'll be allowed to bear fruit and be someone, be a leader and lead out for Christ and God can use me. No, those are lies. Rob, I'm too young. I'm in seventh grade. No, you're not. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you're already a branch and you should already be bearing fruit. Now that word fruit's really tricky because we could look in Scripture and find a bunch of different guys who talk a bunch of different fruit. Is it the fruit of the Spirit? Is it the fruit that Paul's talking about? What fruit is this? Jesus just basically says, when he says bear fruit, it means look like him. When you start to look like Christ. So at the moment that you accept Christ, you know what should happen to you? Something should change. What?
You should bear fruit.
Yeah, which means you should look like Jesus. You should start, your life should change. You shouldn't accept Christ and all of a sudden look exactly the same. Still love the things you loved before. Do the things you did before. Still completely unconcerned with people dying and going to hell. Your life should change the moment you accept Christ. And so this is what I could tell you, that as you are a branch and you're bearing fruit, guess what? Guess what you could do? Be a leader. You know that now you are leaders in this church? Right now, in seventh grade, you are a leader in this church. You don't have to wait. We might not take you and make you a pastor tomorrow, but here's the deal. right now, God can use you in incredible ways I can't even imagine. I have no idea of knowing. You know why? Because you're like, well, I'm only in seventh grade. Like, I'm still weak. I don't know all this stuff. But you know who you're connected to? Yeah. You know who the one it is that's giving you your strength and your power in your life? The one who put the whole universe together. I think he can handle anything he asks you to do. So you're capable of some really big, awesome stuff. You know that you're capable if I said, hey, I want you to go to your school and just live for Jesus, and God's going to change your entire school. You're like, Rob, God can't use me in my school to get everybody in my school to hear the name of Jesus. There's no way he's getting my whole school's going to get saved. How powerful do you think your Savior is?
Really powerful.
Amen. Now here's the deal. If we actually believe that, are you doing it? How often are you spending time begging God in prayer, change my school? Save my family members who aren't saved. Use me, God. How often are you praying and begging God to do that? Do you really believe he's powerful, or do we just say it? Because if we really believe it, we'll have fruit. And the fruit is where you start to see this thing's real. All right? And so he says, as you bear fruit, here's another piece. Look what he does. He prunes. He prunes you. What is pruning? Anybody know? Not the fruit prune that makes you go to the bathroom. Yeah, you. Yeah.
Does it shrink it and make it look like a raisin?
That's the other type of prune. You're like, a prune is a shrunk up, plum. Plum, I think.
It's when you cut all the bad branches off of a tree, and so only the good ones grow. So you have more room.
Yeah, you gotta come and cut the bad stuff off it. Clean it up. So only the good stuff can then grow more. And that's how you bear more fruit, by cutting off the bad stuff. And the good stuff can keep growing. Well, guess what? If you're bearing fruit, God's going to come along and prune you. Now ask question, does it feel good to have things cut off you? No, it doesn't feel good. Well, maybe your fingernail is cut too far in, you know. But this idea of pruning isn't always fun. And it can hurt. And so sometimes God prunes us, you know, by bringing trials into your life. Sometimes it's not like a blast to go through it, but you know God's using those hard moments in your life where maybe your heart's broken and you don't quite understand what's going on, but you're trusting him to grow you, to make you look more like Christ. And so we need to welcome those moments where God's going to do something big through our pain and use it to prune us and to grow us. This also speaks of discipleship. How else can you be pruned? How else can he talk to you? Through his word. Like what we're doing tonight and what we do in Sunday school and small groups. We read the word and it convicts us and prunes us of our sin and helps us grow. And that's called discipleship. We start off growing, bearing fruit, right? The second you accept Christ, you're able to bear fruit. But discipleship and studying his word and the work of the Holy Spirit in you is going to help you bear more fruit. So here's the hard part. Some of you guys are going to be angry at me when I say this. And some of you guys are going to be offended and you're going to say, don't say that to me, Rob. You have to bear fruit. We can't do this thing where we say we're Christians and we go to church and that's enough. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, Jesus' own words tell us that if you truly believe, you bear fruit. Your life changes. And this is where we get awkward and we're like, well, it sounds a lot like you're trying to tell me to follow rules and be a certain way, Rob. That's that legalism thing you were talking about earlier. I can't work my way to heaven. You're absolutely right, we can't. But listen to some of these verses. 1 Peter 1:16. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. You know that God wants you to hate sin. God wants you to love what he loves and hate what he hates and be like him. James 2:26 says, for as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. You can say you have all the faith in the world, but if it's not pouring out in fruit, it's probably a lie. Now the works aren't going to save you. But the works are this awesome evidence that what happened in you is real. And that's what Scripture's trying to tell us. I remember I used to... You guys know what parkour is? Any parkour fans? Mr. Chupka, if any of you guys know who Mr. Chupka is, it's a buddy of mine who teaches over at MICS. He's a wild man, and we always go out and do crazy stuff. And at least we used to. And we went to this like forest once, and we're like running around the forest, and we would do parkour. Do you remember this? Do you remember? Some of you guys know this? What? Yeah. Tell me. What happened? Yeah, with both feet. Yeah. So we're jumping, and what was wrong with the tree?
It was rotten.
It was dead, and what happened?
You fell through it.
Why? Why would that happen?
Because you were parkouring.
Well, not, I know because of me, but because it's dead. Thank you. Yes, exactly. Jack, thank you. Perfect. It was dead. You guys see it? Now listen, that's exactly what Christ is looking for in us. That the inside of this thing is strong, that your heart truly does believe in a way that you were actually pouring out fruit. And it's easy to stand there and look like a tall, strong tree. You can act moral. People can even have kind hearts and love people and still not know Jesus. Just like that tree. But when you actually put some weight on it, guess what happens? I remember I was with my dad and we were up in South Carolina and we're cleaning up the property up there. And as we're walking around, we're looking at some trees. And this one big oak tree, it's kind of like sitting there, had all these pine trees around it. And I looked at that thing. I was like, that's a weird looking tree. It's not supposed to have leaves like that. And I'm looking closer. It looked like it was like a hybrid of like a pine tree and an oak tree. It had all these like pine tree branches sticking out of this oak tree. I'm like, how is that possible? So I climbed up a little bit and I started banging the trees. And all of a sudden, it didn't take long, all these pine limbs just started falling down. They weren't really connected. They just fallen off dead from the pine trees around them and fell onto that oak tree. But they looked just like they were the limbs of that oak tree. It was so weird. But really, it was just a dead limb hanging there. It had fallen. Jesus is telling us that it's possible that a lot of people are those dead limbs. And God's going to come along and He's going to prune them off so the oak tree can grow strong. So if you're a true believer in Christ, you will bear fruit. Your conversation is going to start to change. Guys, the way you tell jokes and goof off on the field and the words that you choose to use in the locker room, the way you talk about girls, the things you look at, think about. Girls, the way you look at your own self, the way you treat yourself, the way you love one another and talk about your friends and other people that might not be your friends, all of these things about us will start to change because we're bearing fruit. Now here's the deal about bearing fruit. Have you ever ridden up in the mountains before? Anybody take a trip up into the mountains? When you go up into like big mountain range, do you just go like this the whole time? Just go steadily? No? What does it look more like in your car? Yeah, there's like these dips, you know, you go up for a while and then you come down a little bit, come around a corner, and then you go back up again and then you come around. But if you look at the whole thing, eventually, you know, the whole time you're still going up, right? It's just that you dip here. So if I were just to look at one spot of your trip, I might think that you were actually going down, right? Because I'm only looking at this little piece. But it was just a dip that was I was still going to come up. But if I look from beginning to end over the whole period of the trip, I made it to the top. The Christian life is a lot like that. And Jesus isn't saying you're going to be perfect and never sin. He doesn't say that. But we're going to do this. But what He does say is there should be growth. You should be making your way up. There should be changes in you. And even though we fail, we should be changing and desiring to look more like Christ. And if you don't, if your heart doesn't even have an inkling of a desire for that, I want you to stop and think, do I really love Christ? Have I really given Him my heart? Because the Bible says that if you have, you will bear fruit. There will be a change in you. You'll start to look like Christ. The Apostle Paul said it in Romans 7, and I'm about to close, so stick with me. I'm almost done. Romans 7, 21 to 25 says this. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Christ Jesus our Lord. So then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. You hear what Paul's saying? He's like, I'm trying to do really good things and the things I know to do because I love Christ, but then I still mess up over here and I hate it when I mess up because I don't want to mess up. So there's a struggle in his life. But here's the deal. There's a struggle. The struggle's good. So many of us get discouraged because we're going to be like, Rob, I keep doing this sin and I keep messing up and I'm always struggling against sin. What's wrong? Am I not saved? No, it's beautiful that you're struggling. You're like, what? Because that means you haven't just given up and enjoyed sin and said, forget you, Jesus. The Holy Spirit is at work in you, convicting you of that sin, so you struggle and war against it. So I don't want you to come up tonight and everybody be like, we all need to get saved again because of this passage. No, that's not the point. The point is that if that's you, I want you to be absolutely sure and secure that the Holy Spirit's at work in your heart, that you really do love Christ. But I do believe there might be a few of us here tonight that just aren't. We've never seen a change. We're not bearing fruit in any way. And it's to you that we need to say tonight, we love you, but you need to turn your life over to Christ. Because it's not enough just to come to this place and act like a Christian. Jesus says you need to bear fruit. I'm going to leave you with one verse, and then I'll give you a minute to pray. But look down at verse 11. He says, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Now, sometimes we're like, man, I have to be willing to lay everything down and sacrifice everything. Why is the Christian life always about giving up things? Like, I'm always giving things up. And some of us are just bummed about it. Like, you want to hold on so badly to the things you love in life. Because God made us to love this stuff, right? No, He didn't make you to love this stuff. You think God made you to love trash? Did God make you to love a broken world? Did God make you to love things that are going to disappear and never give you satisfaction? Or did God make you to love the one thing that matters? His Son, Jesus Christ, divine. For us to trade in all of the things that we own in this world should be the greatest joy because it's all trash and we get to reach out with both hands and say, I'm making a good trade here. I'm trading everything I have so I can have the Son of God who will never, ever leave me. That's a good trade. And so he says, I've told you these things so that you can have joy. So as you sacrifice and surrender in your life and lay things down at his feet, your heart is full of joy because you're getting the good end of the trade. You're getting Jesus. All right? Pray with me. Father God, I know that you are at work in our hearts. And there are so many students in this room and leaders that love you so dearly. And you have changed lives. And you're working powerfully in these kids. God, I know it. I see it. And thank you for that. But God, if there are some in this room, God, they can't answer that question and say, yeah, there's fruit. There's a change in my heart. I pray that your Holy Spirit would convict their heart. Would rescue them from themselves and death. And they would understand grace. That they could receive what they don't deserve. They could receive this life that only comes from Jesus. Please, God. Don't let them leave here without accepting you as their Savior. With your eyes closed, guys, still. We don't do this almost ever in here, I know. But if there's some of y'all who are here tonight and you're like, Rob, I've been chasing other vines. I've been chasing other vines and doing other things and honestly, my heart is just desiring the world and I've been messing up and I need to repent tonight. I need God to prune me tonight. I need some pruning done. I need to just get on my knees and beg Him to forgive me. Either do that right there where you're at or go back and ask. There's some leaders in the back. Go back and pray with them. Or if you're here tonight and you're like, Rob, I don't have any change. Like, there hasn't been anything. I just did it because my parents wanted me to. I just did it because the pastor gave the invitation. I don't really believe in Christ, but I want to. If that's you tonight, will you go back and talk to those leaders or grab your fire station leader after this? Come talk to me, but please don't leave tonight. without doing the business you need to do with God.